Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this Christmas Eve. This balmy, last time I checked it was 7 degrees outside, which is better than the -3 it was yesterday. Just so you know for this, so for tomorrow morning we are still planning on having worship. It will be at 9:30. Very simple. Sharing some scripture and some poems and singing some songs. Wear your church-appropriate pajamas or a Christmas sweater or, you know, whatever you like. Be comfortable. Be comfortable. So we'll gather together and just listen to some stories. But also, you know, if the weather gets frightful again, I really want you to make the safest choices for yourself and your families, and I truly care more about your safety and warmth than policing your church attendance. So with that, let us gather together and prepare our hearts for worship with our call to worship. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy. To us is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Please rise. This is the night we are reminded that God loves to be with us. Yet all too often, by our choices, our words, our silence, we choose not to be with God. Join me as we pray on this holy night to the one who was born to gift us with mercy and hope with our prayer of confession. Your light shines in the darkness, O God. And we confess that sometimes we prefer to hide under cover of darkness, where we are free to participate in injustice, to hurt others and ourselves, to do whatever it takes to get ahead, to operate only in our comfort zone without challenge. We forget that your light of true freedom will shine, calling us to a more excellent way. We forget that the promise of a child is a promise for the future, that there is more beyond us, beyond our desires, beyond our brokenness, beyond our understanding. Forgive our short-sightedness. Forgive our hardened hearts. Forgive our complicity in systems that hurt and abuse your earth, your people, your church, your world. Shine your light again this day, that we may see and follow your path. Into the valley of our death, Jesus comes with life. Into the shadows of our world, Jesus brings light. Into the brokenness of our lives, Jesus brings forgiveness and peace. Thanks be to God for the gift of the baby of Bethlehem, who brings joy and peace to us in these moments of forgiveness and in all the days to come. Friends, siblings, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Ago in the beginning was the living word.
let's gather together and pray our Christmas prayer for the world and all of the people in it. Please pray with me. God of glory, by your grace, a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and in his name we pray. Wonderful counselor, we pray for wisdom for the world's leaders, that they may use their power to lift burdens and break the bonds of oppression. Mighty God, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that you will multiply and increase our joy as we share in the harvest you have gathered. Everlasting Father, we pray for families, friends, and loved ones, that those who now walk in deep darkness may see the great light in your saving love. Prince of Peace, we pray for an end to violence and warfare, that your authority may continue to grow until there is endless peace in every land. All of these things we ask in the name of your Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is in joyful gratitude for the gift of our Savior, Christ. Let us present our tithes and offerings to God. Emmanuel, in gratitude for the gift of your presence with and among us, we present these offerings to you. Accept and bless these gifts so that they might spread the joy of Christmas to others. Amen.
To joy is a song that will Tonight, we mark the end of the anticipation and the beginning of the greatest story.
Hallelujah! Christ is born.
Our hopes have become reality. We walk into the light.
Hallelujah! Christ is born.
Let peace reign throughout the world. Let our hearts find calm.
Hallelujah! Christ is born.
May we feel the joy of his coming long after this season ends.
Hallelujah! Christ is born.
Love has come down from heaven and is all around us.
Hallelujah! Christ is born.
Tonight we light all the candles, the first for hope. The second for peace. The third to show our joy. And the fourth to remind us of the love that fills this room. And now we light the Christ candle, symbolizing how Jesus adds to the combined light of the wreath to embrace the hope, peace, joy, and love that he will bestow on the entire world. Gracious Jesus, you are with us now, and we will never let you go. Help us to keep faith and be your servants through the doubt and uncertainty of everyday life. Your birth has renewed our spirit. May it stay strong within us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our newborn King. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise as we sing our Christmas carol, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Good evening and Merry Christmas. Tonight's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God.
So this isn't in the bulletin, but I saw that there were a couple of kiddos here today. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. But if you would like to come up and have a little bit of kids' time, I would love to share that with you. No? How about you? Would you like to come up? No? Okay. It's totally okay. Don't worry about it. I mean, I was just going to talk about this gorgeous little baby, and I was going to maybe ask you to help me put this baby in its manger, but that's fine. I'll do it. No worries. Please pray with me. Loving God, by the gift of your Spirit, teach us, like Mary, to treasure your words and ponder them in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. This whole Christmas Eve thing is a big, big deal. I normally don't have that much trouble writing a sermon because, you know, like I take little chunks of the Bible at a time and, you know, just sort of relay them. But then, like Christmas Eve, it's like, oh, it's such a big deal and there's, you know, tons of people here and how do I summarize the entire Bible in like 10 minutes? And so it gets, my mind gets all jumbled up. But I was thinking, like, okay, if we just focus on the birth of Jesus, if we just focus on this one night, whew, we really got this Christmas thing wrong. I mean, it's highly unlikely that Jesus was born in December, let alone on this very night 2,000 years ago. I mean, and we bring in these trees and decorate them with lights. Obviously, we saw the pagans celebrating Saturnalia and thought that this would be a great way to make Christianity more palatable to the Romans and the pagans. And then we give these gifts. And that probably started out like a
pretty harmless thing, you know, like it's a representative of the gifts that the Magi gave to Jesus. You know, we give each other small tokens of our love and appreciation for one another. Often it started out like handmade things. And somehow we've gotten to a point where people fight in store aisles over the Bluey Playhouse or a Squishmallows mystery box. And even beyond that, like so many of us go into debt so that we can just buy that absolute perfect gift. Some people say that, you know, because of all that, we should just throw the whole thing out. Let's just get rid of the whole Christmas thing. It's meh. Nah, I don't know about that. I love the twinkling lights. I really enjoy gift giving. I enjoy listening to the stories and the singing, gathering with my family and friends. And the cookies. Oh, the cookies. All of these things really help me get into a festive mood, especially when the darkness, both the literal darkness and the metaphorical darkness, seems to just close in. I'd also propose that even though we don't know exactly when Jesus was born, that doesn't make this night that we've chosen to commemorate Jesus' birth any less meaningful. What's really important to remember here is that the light of the world, God with us, Emmanuel, was born. That God loves humanity so very much that in an effort to understand us, God came to live with us in human flesh. Luke's gospel, what we heard today, is the most complete, most descriptive birth narrative in the Bible. Yet, we humans are still compelled to add more details about the arrival of Jesus through our songs and our stories and our pageants. We have the benefit of knowing what happens to this baby. And we can't believe that it could possibly be reduced to a few paragraphs. We need to embellish on it a little bit more. I don't know, personally, I love Christmas pageants. I think they are so fun. I love watching the kiddos dress up and play all the parts. We've got Mary and Joseph and the cows and the sheep and the camels. And of course, lots and lots of angels. Mary and Joseph have to travel to Bethlehem from Nazareth in order to participate in a census. And we picture them, you know, in the pageants, they're traveling alone. Mary's riding a donkey. Joseph walks beside her. Finally, they arrive to Bethlehem in the middle of the night, and they're looking for a place to stay. Joseph didn't make any reservations. And after knocking on the door, one of the cranky innkeepers slams the door shut and yells, "Sorry, no room, get out of here." And they try a few other hotels with the same response until finally one says, "Hey, look, I don't have any rooms, but there's a stable out back, you can sleep in that." Mary goes into a labor almost immediately, all by herself. Some shepherds stop by to visit, and because, you know, the angels told them to. And then a few days later, these three guys from the east come and give a few very impractical baby gifts. I'm not opposed to some creative licensing here and there, but I think that it is important to recognize that we have changed quite a few things in this story. Because of differences in our language, differences in our cultures, quite honestly, even some theological convictions. But I think the most important discrepancy, the biggest takeaway, is that Mary and Joseph were never, ever alone during this entire journey. As they traveled to Bethlehem, they likely would have traveled with a caravan. There are many other people that needed to make the same trip. And it just makes sense that they journeyed in groups for protection and collaboration. As far as Mary traveling by donkey, can any of you moms out there imagine riding a donkey for 90 miles during your third trimester? I'm willing to bet there was a cart of some sort. The reason Joseph needed to travel to Bethlehem for the census is because that's where he was from. He had family there. He had land there. Jesus' birth takes place in a time where hospitality is a very high value in the culture. So it's very unlikely that Joseph's family didn't welcome them into their home. The word that we translate to inn is referring to a guest room or a spare room. That's the same word that we translate into upper room in the recounting of the Last Supper. Mary and Joseph weren't looking for a hotel accommodations. But there is a census happening. Another family is in town. Joseph's family home is crowded. The spare room is crowded. It's not really an appropriate place to give birth. All those other people around, she doesn't have any room. Now, most homes at this time would have a lower level where it would have like a dirt floor and there would be like a feeding trough. That's where they would bring the animals in at night to keep them safe. And so they kicked out all of the animals and they prepped that area for birth. They made it clean. They made it warm. When Mary went into labor, she didn't do it alone. She was probably surrounded by other women in the family, maybe even a midwife, helped her through the process. It was still probably quite scary, right? She's in an unfamiliar place. She'd never given birth before, but at the end of it all, despite the songs and the stories and the poems we imagine, Jesus was born surrounded by family and love. And then those angels, they went to appear to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Shepherds. Stinky. Dirty, homeless, low-class, suspicious shepherds. These were shepherds that were just going about their everyday activity. They weren't looking for a special sign. They were just ordinary people. Yet these were the first people God thought to tell about the birth of Jesus, who was surrounded by love, who is love, who teaches love. Do all of these details really matter? Maybe not. But when we hear the scriptures within their original contexts, rather than imposing our culture about on it, our viewpoints, the way that we understand the world, we understand that Mary and Joseph were real people. The shepherds were real people. God came to earth in the form of a vulnerable baby born to ordinary people who would love and protect and care for him. Too often, I think we like to think that we're the only ones, we're the ones that should be seeking out God. And we stop and we seek out these beautiful, extraordinary places. We set aside the perfect time and place to watch and wait for God to appear. Yet God seeks us. God finds us to fill us with love, to fill us with companionship. And it's often in the most unexpected and ordinary places that that happens. In a small town, in the grocery store, amongst family, on a plane, in a crowded guest room, and yeah, even in a manger. Thanks be to God. Amen. In a few moments, hold on. In a few moments, we're going to darken the sanctuary, and we're going to pass out the light of your candles. I hope when you came in, you got one of those candles. And we're going to pass the light of the candles to one another. Now, I'm going to ask you to please only tip the unlit candle. Don't, once your candle is lit, don't tip it. Hold it still once it's lit. Otherwise, you're going to get burned and waxy all over the place. And then once everyone's candle is lit, we're going to sing Silent Night together. And then after a brief moment of silence, then we'll sing Joy to the World. And as the lights are raised, then you can extinguish your candle. But I ask that you please stay until the benediction. Are we all set? Friends, a young girl alone with her betrothed husband in a strange town, far from the comfort of the familiar, gives birth to the child in a barn. Hardly the stuff of interest to the world, but all of Earth's creatures stirred. Yet that is how God comes. Not in a hurricane, not in the earthquake, not in a fire, but in a gentle whisper, the person of a baby.
Thank you.
Tonight, as we celebrate with us in the birth of Jesus, let us continue to live of lives of hope, peace, joy, and love. Share God's love with the shepherds you meet on the hillside. Let the Holy Spirit fill your heart with glad tidings like angels, and the Prince of Peace born again tonight, may he live in your heart to comfort and challenge you as you seek to live as one of his disciples. Amen. Merry Christmas.